Hey everybody, I am so glad to have you joining us. You know, this entire Easter weekend is so special when we really realize what is going on. You know, so many people, they understand the historical Jesus. They read the Bible, they know where He was, they understand the Last Supper, where the disciples went, where He was betrayed, what Judas did. I call that the historical Jesus because everybody can see and read the account. But it's not the historical Jesus and the account that brings this salvation and this miraculous gift into our lives. It is understanding behind the scenes in the spirit realm what is going on. And that is what I want to talk about today, because so many people say, I like Jesus, I think Jesus is cool. But the cross is the absolute foundation for who we are in Christ. And the cross is the very foundation for our faith. There is a new agreement, Hebrews says, because of the cross. And when Jesus went to that cross and He died, the disciples, everything went silent. They couldn't talk to Jesus, see Jesus, touch Jesus, inquire of Jesus, question Jesus. He was gone. But He wasn't really gone. In the spirit realm, there was things that were going on when He died, and He took the sins of the world, and He took the curse of the world. Something. And so when you read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us the historical story of Jesus from town to town, miracle to miracle, meal to meal, from His whipping to being put on the cross. This historical Jesus. But what the church is unaware of is what is going on behind the scenes with Jesus, the Lord, the Savior. What was taking place? And so I want to talk a little bit about this, because here is where we begin to understand what we have and what we put our faith in. You see, when you begin to understand what Jesus did and you believe on it, something remarkable takes place. I'm going to put it this way. You can believe in the captain of the plane and it'll give you peace when you fly. You can believe in the chair I'm sitting on that it'll hold my weight and it's not going to just break and throw me on the carpet. But when you believe in God's Word, something totally different happens. Because to believe in God's Word, faith is in His Word, the God kind of faith. And it rises up into us, and we become transformed as we become saved, as we understand what Jesus did on the cross. And then as you grow in the knowledge of from the cross to the throne, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension to the throne. When you begin to see this and it begins to be revealed through your spirit, you begin to experience God. You begin to sense God. I mean, you begin to feel, you begin to believe. The miraculous begins to happen in your life when you begin to recognize what Jesus was doing on the cross for you and I. We need to understand the cross, His death. We need to understand why He went to hell in our place. We need to understand this. You know, when Jesus died for you and I, and He took our sin, and the Bible says He went to hell in our place. He died in our place. You know, that to get raised from the dead, Jesus had to overcome sin. He had to overcome the curses. He had to believe. A lot of people haven't realized this, that when Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? You know, because He became sin. He took the sin of the world. Every place you would ever break the law, in the past and in the future, God knew about it, and it was nailed to the cross with Jesus. He went and He died and He went to hell. And while He was in hell, and He was literally defeating sin, defeating the curses that were there, the curse of the law, Jesus had to believe. He had to believe that He would rise and He would be victorious. And so as you and I begin to recognize this, that as He was in the grave, He had to believe. And then as you look into the new covenant, which is, you know, the book of Acts and on, and as all the epistles begin to show us the deal that we have today, you know, some of you, you're a little bit messed up in what you believe. And I'm going to show you in the Word why so many people are fighting with the devil, which does nothing. When you fight with the devil, you're fighting the wrong battle. And so Jesus went to the cross. He died in our place. And when he died, it says that Jonah says, as Jonah spent days and nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man spend three nights in the center of the earth. Talking about hell, talking about death. He was in death, Sheol, however word you want to use there. And there is where he defeated sin. He defeated the curse of the law. He took it for you and I. He believed. Jesus believed. God is a God of faith. And he speaks, and Jesus is a God of faith, and he speaks. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, that is when he became victorious. You see, if Jesus just died for your sin and he took your sin, you're still in the same life you had before. You've just got a clean slate. Someone might say, well, that's fantastic that I've got a clean slate. Oh, I agree. But it gets better than that. Not only were your sins all forgiven and you get a brand new clean slate, but actually you got to recognize that you died with him. So the old me, the old you, if you're a believer, is dead and gone. And when Jesus rose again, you and I rose with him. And we have not just the same life with the sin gone. We have a new life with the power of Jesus. When you begin to understand that Jesus is not just my substitute. Okay, there was an exchange that took place. He took my death. He took my sin. He took my curse, and I got his life. That Zoe, God kind of life. As a gift, I became righteous. When you begin to look at the Word of God and recognize that the resurrected Lord is where all the power is, not the historical Jesus. Some people, you say, well, do you believe in Jesus? They believe in the historical Jesus. He existed. He walked the planet. There's enough other sources besides the Bible that talk about him. So I believe in Jesus. But they're believing in the historical Jesus, not the resurrected Lord. And some of you might be in the same boat. Maybe you've gone to church your entire life and you haven't heard or learned or grown in anything about the resurrected Lord. Not just the historical Jesus. And then when you understand this resurrected Lord and you begin to look and believe on this, did you know that the Bible says your life can be transformed, your mind, your body? But transformation, it comes from revelation. There's something about going into God's Word and Holy Spirit revealing the Word to you, and you become transformed. Now, your spirit man is transformed all along. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, your spirit man comes alive with the life of Christ. But you still got to renew your mind and make your body a living sacrifice. And as you begin to look into the Word, and the most important place to start is the cross, his death, his burial. His resurrection with new life. And then he ascends to the throne at the right hand of the Father in all authority. So let's recognize what a tremendous thing the cross, from the cross to the throne. Now, when we look at the cross to the throne, so many people, they just, well, it's kind of hard to understand, Leon. No, it's not. It is not hard to understand. It just means applying yourself. People go to college and it'll take 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years to be a surgeon and a scientist and lawyers and doctors and all these things. And they don't even apply themselves to recognize that what the cross was. Now, the cross was a finished thing. Done deal, finished. Satan was destroyed. And one of Satan's greatest deceptions is that he wants the believer to feel like you still have to mess with the devil. Okay? If you look at the people who were set free from demonic possession, oppression before the cross, and how many were dealt with after the cross, it's kind of a remarkable difference. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, his destruction of Satan's power was complete. It wasn't 99% there. It wasn't 95% there. what Jesus did to the devil in stripping him of his power, authority, just stripping him of it all. He's a defeated foe. But then why does much of the intercessory prayer make us think we've got to bind the devil from this country, from this situation? We've got to, you know, the teaching of binding and loosing has nothing to do with the devil. And we'll get into that. It's not about the devil that we're trying to bind and loose. Jesus did that. And so we base our faith on the finished work of the cross. Okay? And it's on the finished work of Jesus, not if your life is clean enough, good enough, etc., your sin, your failure, then the curse gets to come. No, the curse has no right in your life. Okay? Because of what Jesus has done. And so everyone thinks we still need to do deliverance ministry. We got to get in there and deal with all these demons and all these devils. But the cross was a defining moment. He's finished. Now, we no longer fight with the devil. He had authority maybe before the resurrection, but none after. Because after the cross, Satan has no law to condemn you with. Let me read you a stunning verse. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 is talking about what happened behind the scenes when Jesus died. It says this, talking about Jesus. He canceled, wiped out, erased the record of debt, which listed all the rules you failed to follow, all the rules I failed to follow in my life, with its decrees that were against us, the record of sins revealed through the Old Testament law. Jesus took it away, set it aside, destroyed it, and the one verse that nailed it to the cross. It says, he stripped the spiritual rulers and the powers, this is demonic rulers and authority, of their authority. He disarmed them. He spoiled the rulers and the authorities. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. He publicly shamed the enemy and his horde, made a public spectacle of them, like a triumphant general displaying his captives in a victory parade. I was reading an article about what they would often do back in those days. You know, if a country was always fighting against another country and they became, this was the king that would come in and kill their husbands and rape their wives and steal their children and make them slaves. And he was like the monster. You got to look out for King so-and-so. When they finally defeated him, they would take that king and they would cut off his thumbs so that he couldn't grip a sword, he couldn't grip anything to stab or fight with, and they would cut off his big toes so that he couldn't balance properly and run in warfare. And they would make him a servant in the king's house, the kings. And back in those days, there were kings and great kings who had other kings from other countries who served them, who had no thumbs and no toes. And so when it talks about this triumphant processional, and they would do that so the kids would lose their fear. The country would lose its fear of this horrible king of another country who was always coming in. The Bible is using that example, that when Jesus died on the cross, your sin was nailed to it. Everything that you would ever do wrong in your entire life, from birth to death, okay, God knows the future. He knows what that was. And that was nailed to the cross. It was paid. It was finished. The sin was paid for. The curse was paid for. And Jesus rose again after taking all of your sin, all of your curse, past and future, present, for the rest of your life, so that you don't have to live in this condemnation of, am I going to make it? Will I make it? We need to recognize that the devil's not the issue anymore unless you believe that. You see, according to your faith, so be it done to you. And so many people will tell me, well, we got to bind the devil. I get into so many groups around the world where they want to pray and they want to go into long intercessions to destroy Satan in his effects in their area. And I'll often be polite and just pray my way when I'm there with them. But when people want to talk, I'll help them to realize the cross changed everything. And one of the things that it changed was the enemy is stripped. He literally was beaten so bad that he has nothing left except to kind of deceive you, shoot thoughts in your head. And yet for some Christians, that's enough. You see, we talk about warfare. Man, I've been in churches where people are talking about warfare. We're going to get up and we're going to do spiritual warfare. And they mean fighting the devil. I never do spiritual warfare. I get so many people who ask me, you must have suffered greatly for God to trust you with what you're doing, or you must just pray and intercede. Now, I intercede, but I probably have a different look at it than they do. They think that I'm just binding the power of the devil. And now, whenever something shows up, I'll speak to it. Don't get me wrong. But it's so rare because I've learned to loose the Word of God. I've learned to loose the presence of God, His Word. I've learned to just speak and declare and bind or stop all of the things I don't want. And I actually don't think about the devil. Okay? And so when we talk about warfare, it's not dealing with the devil. Literally, this warfare that we fight now is this warfare to manage your own thoughts, your feelings, your lifestyle. This is the war. So as you and I recognize, we don't struggle with the devil. We're struggling with our own emotions, our own beliefs. And the Bible's very clear on that. All right? First of all, we need to know that the battle's been won. We share the victory with Jesus. But when you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, it talks about thoughts, imaginations, reasonings. It's talking about your own head. If you want to know where the battle is now, it's not some defeated angel. The battle for the believer today is to the battle to stay and grow in faith. If you would get into the process of faith and learn the Word and then declare the Word out loud, speak the Word, understand the Word, then you'll be able to get rid of all these condemning thoughts. You're not enough. It's like this because, you know, you got pregnant as a young girl. It's because you did sin when you were a young man, or because of the thoughts. Like, the enemy will try to shoot thoughts in your head. Okay, but you and I, we need to recognize that God's Word planted in our heart gives us a power. Oh, this new covenant that we have today, folks. I got hours and hours of teaching just on this one thought. Today, I just wanted you to understand this area. When Jesus died on the cross, your sins were paid for from everything right up until you die. He knew the things you'd do wrong, and Jesus died for them so that... See, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He has nothing to accuse you with. Why? Because the real you has been dead, the old you's dead, and this is the new you. And you can't hold debts to a dead person. This is the new you. Jesus paid. The curse can't come because Jesus paid for the curse. He dealt with the curse. It talks about how He took care of the curse of the law in Galatians chapter 3, so that you and I can get on and live our lives. And so for those who are watching this right now, I really want to encourage you, begin to read and understand Paul's writings. You know, go in from the book of Galatians and on, or the book of Acts and on. Begin to read and find, you know, you've got your Bible that you like, find another translation, whether it's the Living Bible or the Expanded Bible is really good at times to help you understand what this custom is, where this appears in the Old Testament. And begin to recognize that the cross was a complete destroying of Satan's authority and power in your life. Now, he hasn't been locked up yet and thrown away for good, but his time is coming. And the Bible says when his time is up, that the lease that he has, because Adam gave it to him by obeying him and making him, when that lease is up that Adam had and passed to Lucifer, one angel is going to come and chain him up and throw him away. The battle, the victory that you need to work at today is to renew your mind with God's Word. And don't just read the Bible as though it's all, you know, it doesn't matter where you read. No, it does. If you want new covenant faith, the foundation must be in what the cross means, what His burial means, what His resurrection means, that there's resurrection life. It's not just that He forgave your sins. It's that you died with Him. You were crucified with Him. And then you rose victorious with Him. We have the life of Jesus. As Jesus is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. I'm going to challenge every believer watching. Get back into the Word. Stop saying, I don't understand it. No, get back in and begin to study and ask Holy Spirit to reveal it to you so that you can rise up and recognize this new warfare is not fighting with the devil. It is fighting with your own thoughts, your own beliefs, your own doubts. And as the Word of God, you begin to believe His Word, it pushes them right out and you begin to rise up in faith. And you begin to believe who you are, that you are righteous, that His grace flows on your behalf, that Jesus paid it all, that Satan's a defeated foe. And as you begin to believe these things, it is so easy to believe that He's protecting you, healing you, prospering you, because you just fall in love with this Jesus as never before. So I want to just say to all of you watching, the Miracle Channel family is watching this as well. We love you. Sal and I love you. We're praying for you and all across this nation and those watching around this world. Get back to understanding the cross. You know, begin to study the Word in that area. We've got some great teaching on that. If you want to go to springschurch.com and begin to get taught on the cross and other messages that we've done so that you begin to know who you are. I don't look at the devil and all scared. When I was a young man, I remember being scared. What if the devil appears to me? And what if he tries to do something to me? And when I begin to recognize how complete that Jesus destroyed His power, His authority, His ability to come in and do anything to me. And then as I would get into the Word and realize that faith would rise and His ability would be completely diminished. There are those out there that have allowed every dumb thought He puts in there to hurt them. You know, when the Bible says that we should speak to mountains and don't doubt in our heart. Doubt doesn't mean you have diminished faith. Doubt is an opposing belief. You're trying to hang on to two beliefs, the belief in Jesus and that promise, and you've got another belief that's at odds with it. It's not the devil that has that much power. Clean up your own belief system by getting into the Word. And when you know the truth will set you free to live the way Jesus has really designed you to live. Well, God bless you to the Miracle Channel who are watching. We love you. You know, to our Springs family who are watching this and all those who have joined us, I want to encourage you that as you begin to get into the Bible and begin to study and recognize that the victory that Jesus did must be believed. Don't become one of these people who just say, well, I just trust God's going to look after me. Okay, but now what's that trust based on? Well, I just trust He will. No, actually the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and understanding the Word of God, that faith is a process. And Jesus teaches that process in Mark 4. And that as you begin to plant God's Word in your heart, it begins to take root. It begins to come up. And as it comes up, it's not usable right away. It's first the blade when it comes out of the ground, then the blade in the ear, then when harvest time is ready, it's yours. So you and I need to be speaking the Word of God, meditating, imagining the Word of God. And as you do that, you begin to connect with God, get to know Him, His Word at the heart level, and then incredible things take place. Let's believe God. You know, we're in the middle of things that are going on right now. Don't let it bother you. Yes, this world's got stuff. It's a fallen world. And Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. But see, I'm not going to be troubled because I know that my Jesus has defeated him. And so as I get into the Word and my faith begins to grow, as in I'm planting the Word in my heart and it begins to grow, we walk in such victory. The Bible says, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Many of you have tried to believe in promises. You've been claiming promises, speaking promises, and you haven't really seen consistent victories. That will be probably because you must go back even further to the cross and have an understanding of what He did when He died, when He was buried, when He rose again, when He ascended to the right hand of the Father. We're dealing with His death. We're dealing with these things. When you begin to understand them and confess those and believe those, get back to, I am free from the curse of the law because of Jesus. My sin is gone, every bit of it, and I am righteous with God, which means I'm in right standing as a gift from Him. If you go back to the cross, from the cross to the throne, learn it, grow in it, confess it, speak it, it will give you a foundation to your faith that is so strong, you'll enter an entire new realm of living. Because many Christians don't have a foundation. They just heard, claim the promise, speak the promise, and they've gotten kind of miracles. But if you want to walk in the supernatural ability of God, faith is not mysterious. There's a process to faith. Learn that. We'll be teaching on the process of faith in the next number of messages, and I think it's really going to help you as well. Father, I just pray right now for those who are watching, that You would touch them in a very special way. That, Father, Your Spirit would teach them. There'd be this fascination and this hunger to get into the New Testament, especially the epistles, and to begin to see what You showed the Apostle Paul by revelation. Not the historical Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the Lord, the risen Lord in all of His power. Help us to see what Jesus did, to believe it. And Father, I'm believing that our church is going to rise up as never before in victory in every area of life. And for those who don't know You, I pray that right now they would say, Jesus, I choose You, come into my life and teach me to get to know You. Just pray that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I pray that, you know, I crammed a lot of doctrine into about 30 minutes just to give you kind of a heads up, something to study for your own as you get into God's Word, because it is so special. I'm so fascinated with the Bible, and the more I study it, the more victory, the confidence, the peace, the joy, the love I sense rising up in my life and in all that God has called us to do.